This week's InterVarsity podcast features an interview by Media Director Gordon Govier with Phil Hoffman, campus staff member at the University of Washington.
So you've been on staff at the University of Washington for about 4 years?
For about 4 years, right.
Okay. Reports we had sounded like the students have been really engaging the campus with the World Visions thing and also through the Secular Student Union.
Right, right.
Has that been fairly recent?
Yes, I'd say that's been pretty recent. We realized this year that, evangelism for several years has not been really a strong desire, I'd say. Like, our students haven't had much of a heart for it. It's even been pretty low. The heart for evangelism has been pretty low on our staff team. So this year, we really wanted to focus on that. The real heart to be a light on campus came up probably winter quarter this year. And as we began meeting with the vision team for the first time in several years, and then praying with them, taking time to listen, and then praying with our entire leaders team, the phrase that kept coming up in prayer over and over again was to be a light on campus, and people started to get really excited about that. And then it was towards the end of winter quarter that these opportunities started to pop up out of nowhere, especially the Acting on AIDS campaign with World Vision. And so we felt like that was God giving us an immediate opportunity to apply the things that he was calling us to in prayer.
So the students really took to it.
Right, yeah, they got really excited. In fact, we heard about the Acting on AIDS campaign through two different sources at once, one through a staff channel because a local church was bringing the tent here, and they wanted to work with campus groups to make it available to students. But also some of our students who had gone to Urbana pretty much at the same time were feeling called by God, hey, we need to do something to apply what we learned at Urbana at our campus. And so they began talking to each other and then talking to the staff, asking if we could do something. So it was pretty amazing how those things came together.
And judging by the media that I read, other students on campus reacted well also. It really had an impact.
Yeah, I'd say that was definitely true. It was exciting to see our fellowship become very involved and get excited. A lot of students in InterVarsity got on board pretty quickly. But that's only about 80 to 100 students, and so it felt like the goal that came up was to sell 2,000 orange orphan t-shirts, which would represent 5% of our campus, and that was to match with the 5% of kids orphaned by AIDS in Africa. So anyway, we were wondering how in the world are we going to sell these 2,000 shirts. But everyone stepped up, and we were manning tables for 5 hours a day for a couple weeks, and we had a big rally also on the campus. Yeah, and the students who came and bought shirts got really excited about it. It's hard to even know how many people were involved who were Christians and who weren't, but people were networking with their friends. We'd have people come up to our tables and say, hey, I heard about this on Facebook, or my friend told me to come get a shirt. So, yeah, it was really well received. People were excited to be part of it, I'd say.
How do you think it looks in terms of long-range impact?
I think the long-range impact, well, obviously we're waiting to see, but one of the things we're hoping is that some of the folks who bought T-shirts would stay involved with the Acting on AIDS chapter. It's actually a new student group started by InterVarsity students. So we're hoping that some of those students will stay involved and continue to be advocates long term, you know, possibly by using voting power, registering on one.org, things like that. But also, I don't know the total numbers, but quite a few students actually signed up to sponsor children through World Vision, who are in the areas affected by AIDS in Africa. On our rally day in Red Square on campus, there was at least 10 folks who signed up just that one day to sponsor children. And quite a few more who went through the AIDS experience tent decided to sponsor children. So even I know folks who weren't Christian decided to do that, like one girl from the gig that I lead decided to sponsor a child after we went through the tent together. So those are a couple of the ways we're hoping that the impact will be long-term.
How is the Acting on AIDS chapter situated, or how's that going to work?
That's still kind of in the process of forming. several students who are on our leaders team are going to continue to lead in that next year. So that will be their full-time role. They won't be leading Bible studies, but they'll be leading in the Acting on AIDS chapter. And I think they're still figuring out how they're going to set it up, because it really just started towards the very end of winter quarter, early spring quarter. So I think they're still figuring out what that's going to look like or how it's going to be set up. But I do know they're hoping to do some more events campus-wide next year.
And then Secular Student Union, you mentioned that you have been attending meetings. And how did you first decide to get involved with them?
The connection there came, they were actually met some of the students leading that group. In the early fall, there was a religious fair. All the religious organizations on campus were at the student union building, including InterVarsity. We had formed an evangelism team this year with some of the student leaders. So I was there with them, and we were actually looking to start gigs. So we were targeting non-religious, non-faith folks to see if they might be interested in checking out Jesus. But while we were there, we didn't have a lot of people coming to our table, so I got kind of bored and decided to just go and meet other people from other groups. And that's how I met the Secular Student Union folks. And I said, hey, you know, I'm not actually a student, but I work with students. Is it okay if I come? And, you know, I let them know I was a follower of Jesus. They said, yeah, sure, we could use some diversity so that it's not always just us agreeing with each other all the time. And then the following week, they sent out an email inviting people to come with some very specific questions about Christianity and about God that I felt like I had some really personal experience with and could share some stories about. So I decided to go, and then just continued to build relationships and attend after that.
Did you feel like you did have a background that made you kind of a natural fit for working with this group?
The background in terms of being able to answer hard questions or apologetics, not so much. I've never really been good at that. I haven't studied it a ton. What felt more like a match was they were asking questions that seemed really relevant to their lives and to people's lives in general, questions about, you know, how could God be good when there's suffering or when babies die of SIDS or things like that, or, you know, are there miracles anymore? Things like that, really wanting to know if God is real and if he's good, that kind of thing. You know, not so much the apologetic knowledge, but more the personal experience in my life with my family, both when I was growing up and more recently with my son who was born with Down syndrome. You know, I feel like I've had some really personal, incredible experiences with God that do seem like miracles, or that help me to have faith even when I don't understand everything. There's been some pretty profound experiences I've had that caused me to trust and have faith despite all the other questions. So I think it was more of those experiences that made me feel like, yeah, I have something to offer here. Really, it's been a huge learning experience along the way, learning all of the other things that I've needed to know, or learning how to, you know, engage with their other questions, that kind of thing.
What has been the response? How have they reacted to you?
I think at first people were a little more argumentative or antagonistic, but still respectful. But as the year has gone on, and I've gotten to be friends with quite a few of the people in the group, I mean, the number fluctuates, but I'd say I've gotten to be good friends with probably maybe 8 or so of the students that come, and most of them are atheists. As the year went on, pretty quickly, I think they were really surprised by some of the things that I would say about the difference between religion and actually following Jesus, or, you know, having personal experiences or relationship with God. They would continually be surprised, oh, I've never heard that before. Could you say more about that? You know, as I grew to learn to get to know them and respect them and their questions, I think they did the same for me and really wanted to ask more questions or get to know more about who Jesus was. So, in general, I'd say their experience mostly has been negative with religion or even with Christianity specifically, but in talking about God or about who Jesus was, their response has mostly been very positive. Just a week or two ago, I was talking with one of the students who was pretty new spring quarter, and he was saying, you know, the more we talk about this stuff, the more I really like who Jesus is. And it's always really exciting to hear that from somebody who's a pretty strong postmodern, you know, non-believer.
Yeah.
Those are some of my experiences.
Well, that seems to really fit in with what appears to be a national trend right now, is increased dialogue between Christians and atheists or agnostics. I see a lot of ads for this book, I Sold My Soul, on eBay.
Yeah.
And then Jim Henderson, I guess, is like right in your backyard, you know.
Right. Yeah, he's in Seattle.
So you put together a program.
So that was actually the idea of one of the atheist students. He went to an atheist convention in Seattle, and the author of the book, I Sold My Soul on eBay, was there. He met Meta. And so this student in the SSU, his name's Hang, and he's become actually one of the closest friends I have in that group. He met Meta there and contacted him afterwards, and then through him got a hold of Jim, who lived in Seattle, who had commissioned the original project. So they started to put together this idea of maybe we could get an event where Jim could come out and speak on campus. And so that's kind of how that whole thing started. So Jim, who was a guy who, so to speak, won Heman's Soul on eBay and then asked him to visit different churches and blog about it, he came out to the campus to speak. It was an amazing event. I had never met Jim before, but I deeply respect him. I would really like him to mentor me in some capacity, but he really earned the respect of the students. It was mostly, I'd say about 30 students went. Most of them were atheists. They totally loved him. It was really amazing to watch a Christian talk about evangelism and about Jesus for an hour, and to have, you know, all these atheists in the room really engaged and totally love it and just really listen to everything he was saying. It was smaller than we had hoped, but it was definitely a success, and everyone who was there really enjoyed it.
What was his technique, or what's the secret to actively engaging atheists and getting them to listen?
Oh, yeah, good question. There's a couple things he did really well. One, he was very honest about his own shortcomings, and especially the shortcomings of the church and of religion. His mission is sort of to, again, like I was talking a little bit about earlier, his mission is sort of to separate Jesus from the religion or from Christianity, the religious stuff that gets bogged down or that kind of entraps, you know, who Jesus was. And so he did a really good job of talking about Jesus and who he was and what he stood for, and even bringing up how Jesus in his time railed against the people who were really religious, but who didn't know what it meant to live this full, healthy, you know, abundant life of knowing God and following Jesus. So I think he portrayed Jesus in a really positive light. And again, like I said earlier too, what people mostly have a problem with is religion, or is with this negative experience they've had with Christianity as sort of a machine. So he does a really good job of apologizing for that, breaking down those stereotypes and explaining that's not really what Jesus was about. Another thing he did, there was a moment where he apologized to people specifically for the mistakes Christians have made and how they've been hurt. He apologized specifically for how, you know, Christians make atheists feel like they can't even be honest about who they are. They sort of have to hide it, even when they're applying for jobs. You know, if they've been involved in a secular student group, they feel like they have to hide that on a resume, where normally, you know, a leadership position would be positive. Just because it's an atheist group, they feel like they have to hide that. And Jim was saying, you know, I'm really sorry, that's true, that's wrong. It feels like we keep you guys from having rights that you should have. And that really struck a chord with them pretty deeply. I think they appreciated that a lot. And I'd say the last thing he did really, really well, I saw this even more. We went to dinner afterwards with a really small group, and I saw this even more. He was very, very good at asking questions and drawing people out in conversation. So he would really engage them and ask them questions to get at their fears or their hurts or their confusions. And it really reminded me of how Jesus interacted with people. So it was so neat to see it in somebody up close and personal, you know, how he would just get people to dialogue back and forth, and how he would draw them out and ask questions about the things that they really cared about or that they were afraid of around Jesus or Christianity. That was really powerful to see. He did that really well.
How have these two experiences framed what's going to be happening next year on the Washington campus?
Well, let me, I didn't actually think of this when I emailed you and Terry, but there's one more experience we had that I can briefly share with you. At the same time we were praying about being allowed on campus, the Acting on AIDS stuff was coming up. The Virginia Tech shootings happened, which, of course, everyone was really profoundly affected by. But one of our students, when he heard what was going on, he called us and said, hey, there's a vigil happening on campus tonight put on by the UW in the middle of campus in Red Square. But it's during our worship, our regular worship time, our large group. Could we delay large group or could we cancel it or something like that so that we can respond to the tragedy? Well, we decided that that was totally what we needed to do because of what God was calling us to do, how he was calling us to be a light on campus. So we canceled our large group and we went to the UW vigil. About 200 students showed up. Almost half of them were ours. And the UW portion of it was very short, but they had given out candles. So it literally lasted 5 or 10 minutes, and I think people were feeling like, oh, that's it, at the end of it. And so we gathered people to pray afterwards. And we didn't even necessarily think anyone would join us besides our students. But what happened was most of the people who were at the vigil kind of turned around, saw us gathering in a circle to pray, and came over and joined us. So it ended up being this, you know, this rather large group, I'd say 150, 160 people of, you know, all kinds of backgrounds, Christian, non-Christian. And then we spent the next 45 minutes praying together. And as it got dark outside, we were all holding candles that they had given us at the vigil. And so here we had been praying, asking God to help us be a light on campus, and now we were all in the middle of campus in Red Square, holding candles, praying for God to, you know, bring peace and hope and comfort to people, and of course to lift up and heal the families of people affected over in Virginia. It was another, I mean, totally spontaneous, you know, obviously we didn't plan that, but another incredible opportunity to be a light on campus. So wanted to share that story as well.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So your question.
Are you going to be doing things a little bit differently than you might have next year based on the experiences that you've had?
I think we are. It's been really neat to watch our students, especially the younger students, get really excited. I think for the freshmen especially, they've seen us do these things and they've thought, this is just normal, we do this all the time. You know, even though for us, we haven't really done this, anything like this, recently or in a long time. And not even really when I was a student, you know, which was 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. So how's it going to affect next year? Yeah, I think we are going to do things differently. We're freeing up some of our leaders. Instead of leading Bible studies, like I said, their full-time role is going to be to be advocates for social justice on campus and to help us figure out how to do that in an evangelistic way. So we're hoping to bring the AIDS experience tent back and actually have it on campus next year. The reason is because it was hard to get students to go off campus to a church, especially non-believers, and so we'd really like to bring it back and have it be on campus like they had at UCSD and some other campuses around the country so that we could really follow up with people better and use it more evangelistically. So that's one thing that we're hoping to do. Another thing that's going to change is even the way we do new student outreach and our presence in the dorms, we're hoping to be more of a visible light through service. We've recently changed our condensed, short, articulated vision statement to be serve the campus and change the world. And one of the ideas that came up with it, it's kind of fun, that some folks are going to work on this summer is to have T-shirts made that will say InterVarsity, serve the campus, change the world on the front, but on the back they'll say you got served. And our goal is really to build this mentality into our fellowship that, hey, we're not just here to be a community or a club. We're really here to serve the campus and to make a difference in this world. And so we always want to be thinking, how can we serve? How can we serve? What can we do that will serve people in the dorms and on campus or that will have an impact on the world, like with acting on AIDS? And so hopefully it won't be an arrogant phrase or slogan, but it will be more like, yeah, we really do want to serve. We're here to serve you. We're here to love the people on this campus and, you know, to show God's love through tangibly and practically serving people or meeting people's needs. So those are a couple of the ways that we're hoping we'll really, you know, have a different mentality next year on campus and to be more visible and known as, hey, InterVarsity, oh, you guys are the ones who, you know, you guys are doing something about the problems in the world, or you're the guys who serve, or you're the guys who cook us meals once a quarter, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Wow, that sounds pretty exciting.
It's been really fun to sort of discover this vision, have it come up from God, and then share it with people and have our students get excited about it. So it is really fun. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next year and see where it goes from here.